Conversations with professionals for professionals in the laundry and linen services industry. This is the American Laundry News Podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm Matt Poe, editor of American Laundry News and your host for the American Laundry News Podcast. With banks failing and economic forecasts still bleak for the year, it makes sense that the attitude of businesses these days is less than positive. In episode 49, we're going to examine what's going on with the economy today and in the near future. Plus, we'll talk about ways industrial and institutional laundries can prepare for and ride out the downturn. I have two guests for this discussion today. First, Brian Kutzinger is an assistant professor of economics at the Norris Vincent College of Business and the assistant director for Free Market Institute Programming at Angelo State University in San Angelo, Texas. He is also a research assistant professor for the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech University. Thanks for taking time to speak with us, Brian.
Yes, happy to do it.
From the laundry side, we're joined by Mike Knowles, Chief Operating Officer of Superior Linen Service in Oklahoma. Mike has been a pillar within the company since 1996. He aims to lead the best industrial laundrying company possible by providing customers with top talent and technology. Welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So as I touched on a little in the introduction, we're still dealing with the effects from the pandemic. The supply chain is still off. Inflation is up. Some banks have failed. The overall economy seems to be on a less positive footing. So, Brian, from what you're seeing, what is the state of the economy today?
So the economy is certainly still recovering from the pandemic. Things, I think, are still going in the right direction, perhaps not as quickly as we would like them to. As far as inflation goes, it's still high. Whether or not the Fed keeps tightening, I think, will remain to be seen. I suspect they will for the time being, as inflation remains certainly above their 2% target. So they probably will keep tightening if they don't see the growth rate of prices coming down fast enough. Although I suspect that we won't see them be as aggressive as they have been over the last year. Mm-hmm. Unemployment, or the overall level of employment, seems to be doing pretty well. Also, one thing that we saw from the most recent job numbers is that there are fewer job openings. So that's actually something the Fed is looking for. They want to see the rate of job growth sort of slow down a little bit. Now, that might strike some people as surprising. Why would we want to slow down the rate of job growth? But the point is that if monetary policy has been too aggressive, then the economy is actually growing faster than can be sustained. In other words, we have too many people working because they've essentially been fooled into taking jobs they wouldn't otherwise take by an aggressive monetary policy. So the Fed is looking to try to bring that down. Now, the great news about this, though, is that while we're seeing fewer job openings, unemployment has not really increased all that much. It's increased a little bit, but not all that much. So this is sort of the proverbial soft landing that the Fed is looking for. We do still see dollar wages increasing. So when I say dollar wages, I mean non-inflation adjusted wages are continuing to go up. They have not gone up as fast as the overall level of prices in the economy has gone up over the past couple of years, but they have been increasing.
Yeah.
One worrying trend, though, is that once we do adjust for inflation, it does look like inflation-adjusted wages, they remain below trend or sort of flat. They really haven't changed very much. So that's an issue.
What are you seeing, Mike?
What I'm seeing is inflation seems to still be, even though it's the rate of increase is tapered, and even though within the industry we're seeing less challenges in terms of our costs have kind of backed off just a little bit, we're seeing a general slowdown. We're still seeing growth, but we recognize in the markets that we serve that people are more careful with their discretionary spending right now. So that has an effect on us eventually.
What factors are affecting the economy most overall, and in what ways?
Well, I still think you have this issue of supply chains recovering. So that's one issue that I think is still affecting the economy. Another one, and this goes back to this unemployment factor, which is that one of the things that happened at the start of COVID, and this actually happened to a certain extent at the start of the Great Recession and crisis back in 2008 as well, is that people that were close to retirement decided to just leave the labor force and retire a year early, especially when you consider the pandemic-related assistance programs that the government was offering. I'm not necessarily saying those were a bad idea or a good idea, but the point is that if you can largely supplement your income for a year and you were only a year away from retirement, then if you lose your job, you don't necessarily think that you need to go find another one. So one of the things that is probably going to affect the economy's recovery is the fact that there were folks that probably retired a year or two earlier than they otherwise would have. And so that's going to certainly make it difficult for the economy to produce as much as it was before. You've got less labor. Labor is one of those things that we use to produce stuff, right? It takes humans to make stuff in addition to technology and capital and all that. And we've got fewer workers or people that did leave the job market as a result. Now, I think these people were going to leave either way, right? So the question was not whether they were going to leave because they were close to retirement. The question is, what was the timing? And I think what happened is that it just got moved up by a couple years. So we were going to deal with this one way or the other. It just, we're dealing with it a little bit sooner than we did before. You know, another issue, and I think it remains to be seen how big this ends up being, which is the recent bank failures. So we have had three relatively large bank failures over the past 6 weeks. So we've had Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and New Republic. These are certainly worrisome. No one wants a financial crisis, of course. But in general, financial crises don't necessarily have to lead to a recession. And so that's an issue that could create some uncertainty in the economy. And certainly if more and more banks were to fail, that would be certainly concerning from the perspective of a recession. So I think it remains to be seen how big of an issue this is going to be with these bank failures, but that seems to be another factor that's contributing.
What do you have to add, Mike?
You know, I'm just going to go back to inflation because there's a lot of concern right now in terms of the stock market, the Fed. What does the future hold? There seems to be some apprehension and a lot of second guessing by businesses, by individuals in terms of how they can afford to spend money. And I think that that's kind of a cyclic thing that the worse it sounds, the more people it's feeding itself.
So, Mike, what economic factors specifically are affecting the industrial institutional laundries out there?
You know, it has been to a greater extent the cost of shipping products. I would say that has been the number one driver of economic factors that have affected us the most. I would say the number two, but close behind, has been difficulty in hiring. And it's not just difficulty hiring in entry-level positions. It seems to be across the board. There are some areas that are more difficult than others. Everyone is always looking for production employees to get products through the plant. And that's been our biggest challenge. But the things that have surprised me is that we've had more trouble hiring in service positions, which are typically a little better compensated, a little easier to hire for, a little more desirable jobs. And we just see that there, it's just difficult to, you know, to find the folks to fill some of those positions that you would have never expected. As soon as you posted one of those, you would expect that you'd have a line of people waiting for that job. And that doesn't seem to be the case as much. It varies from market to market in our service area. We're just covering a 4-state area, and our service teams are out of those 4-state areas. And some are better than others, but it seems to be across the board that it's a little more difficult to find the people you need.
So, Brian, do you have any thoughts on the economic factors affecting industrial and institutional laundries?
This is an interesting question. So when we go look at the data of what sort of things jump around during recessions, one of the things that we notice is that some things that people buy and purchase. Now, I know that most consumers don't purchase industrial laundry services directly. They purchase them indirectly, right, by using the linens and whatnot that are then turned around and laundered through institutional or industrial laundering services. But the point is that one of the things that people seem to do during recessions is they do what economists call consumption smoothing. That is, we all sort of have a sense of how much it is we want to consume, and we try to keep that rate relatively flat. One of the areas that is not as responsive to business cycle fluctuations is the consumption of services. These sorts of purchases by consumers, yes, they dip down a little bit during recessions, but not by as much as the overall decline in economic activity during a recession. And so what that means is that while there certainly could be a little bit of a dip for the folks working in industrial and institutional laundry, it is probably not going to be as large of a dip that would be experienced by, say, the producers of consumer durable goods. Again, I know that the institutional and industrial laundry, you're not selling those services directly to consumers, but you are selling them to people who are selling services to consumers. And so they are not going to be as affected, which is not to say that it's a good situation by any means. It's just that it's not necessarily as bad as some other industries might face. I suspect that if there ends up being a recession, that yes, you would see a dip down in demand for industrial laundry services. But I think that fall in demand is probably not going to be as large as experienced by folks that work in other industries.
Let's continue talking about recession, Brian. Some economic reports predict it at some point this year. What do you see happening with the economy the rest of this year and into 2024?
So this is always tough looking into the future about what we're likely to see. You're right that there are some forecasts that are predicting a recession. The one that I always look at is the Survey of Economic Projections that the members of the Federal Reserve's Monetary Policy Committee make. They make them four times a year. And so what the most recent data from the Fed that we got in March says is that the median member of the Monetary Policy Committee at the Federal Reserve is predicting GDP growth will be 0.4% this year. Now, that's very slow and doesn't actually preclude a recession, right? Because that's 4% over the course of the entire year. So I think things are probably going to be pretty slow this year. The median forecast is predicting that GDP growth will pick up next year up to 1.2% on average, still pretty slow by historical standards, unfortunately. And then by 2025, the median projection is at about 1.9%. So it's going to take a little while. This goes back to my earlier point. I think things are generally moving in the right direction, but they're not getting there anywhere near as quickly as a lot of us would like. Mm-hmm. I think the major issue here is, while I think the Fed took the steps necessary to start getting inflation under control, I think they waited a bit too long to act, unfortunately. And when they did act, they acted aggressively, which to their credit, I think was the right thing to do. But it could be that they have tightened a little bit too quickly and too much. In fact, money growth in the economy is negative for one of the first times ever in U.S. history since we've really actually tracked this sort of thing. That could end up triggering a recession. When it comes to recessions, there are other measures that economists look at. It's not just GDP, although that is a very important one. Other things that people are going to look at is going to be inflation-adjusted manufacturing and trade sales. Now, these have been basically hovering about trend. Of course, they dipped down during the pandemic and they've come back up and they're hovering right around trend. Industrial production, on the other hand, actually remains a little bit below trend. It did look like it was getting back up and now it remains a little below. The downside is that some of this data we only get on a monthly basis and it's usually only for the month prior, which makes it very difficult to predict what's going to happen in the future. I think looking backwards, what the data say is that things are moving in the right direction, but they are doing so at a fairly slow pace, unfortunately.
What are you seeing from your perspective, Mike?
I look at the stock market multiple times a day. What direction is it going? I'm looking for statements from the Fed in the news because that's going to be the biggest driver of, in my mind, that the market follows what the Fed has to say, what hiring has to say, what earnings have to say. And it could be worse. But at this point in time, it gives me cause for concern and to be a little bit more conservative about what are we doing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue on with that a little bit, Mike. What immediate steps can laundry and linen services take to guard against an economic downturn?
We found ourselves responding to COVID, and that's the best example. You know, we've seen downturns. We've seen 2008, you know, what happened in the market there and the downturn then. We've seen what happened post 9/11 and how it affected business, how it affected a downturn. But COVID, by far, pretty much the nearly entire shutdown was the best indicator to us of how we need to proceed as a company that we have. I'll give you, for instance, we had three processing facilities. We actually shut down the smallest of those and processed products in the other two, and actually in just one of the other facilities, and shuttled it back and forth just to save the cost of operating that plant.
Yeah.
We were actually only doing about 25 to 30% of the business that we normally had done, you know, ongoing until that hit. So that's one thing you have to look at. If your business drops 20%, you have to drop those costs 20% as quickly as possible.
Absolutely, yeah.
We are a very people-friendly environment, and I'm sure that the majority of the folks that we're listening to out there are the same. But at the same time, You know, it's like if you're the adult in a plane, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you put it on your child. It's the same thing.
Right.
We have to maintain the business first, and the business will take care of the people. So what you do have to do is look at our income just went down 30%, 40%, whatever the case may be. You know, I've heard all kinds of ugly words thrown out there about potential for the future. Well, it shouldn't be cause for fear. It should be cause for planning. You just have to look at where does it make sense to reduce those costs. And I have to add that the hardest thing for us to adjust when COVID hit was truck leases. If anybody's dealing with truck leases, that's something that you just really can't shake free of. If you're fortunate, you know, if you have a national company and maybe you've got some leverage. But for us having in the vicinity of 50 trucks at the time, about half of those were parked for a period of time. We didn't have mileage. We didn't have fuel, but we had that ongoing cost, and negotiation didn't bring that monthly lease to an end. So really, that was one of the costs that we weren't able to control. And I found that interesting out of the whole process. Any other upcoming reaction that we would have to make, it would be the same situation.
Anything to add for that, Brian?
So I think the general advice I would have is the advice that I would give most households, which is that it's a good idea to be liquid during an economic downturn. So you want to make sure that you have enough cash to meet whatever your cash flow needs happen to be, in part because your cash flow might dip down and likely would dip down in the event of a recession. Now, again, it's probably not going to dip down by as much as it would for firms and other types of industries, but it probably would dip down a little bit for those folks working in the industrial and institutional laundering industry. So I think being liquid is a good idea. I think you want to avoid having to sell whatever assets you might have at depressed prices. So if you can build up your liquidity now so you don't have to try to sell assets at depressed prices in the middle of a recession and take that capital loss for the cash, I think that makes a lot more sense to do now if you can, so to put yourself in that sort of position. The other, I guess, sort of good news about this is that it's not as if the stock market is doing very well right now. So the point is that being liquid is not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because you're not necessarily losing out on a lot of stock market gains right now by being in a pretty strong cash position. And if you have that, then I think you'd be able to weather the storm pretty well.
Okay. So when a downturn does happen, what can operations do to ride out a lagging economy, Brian?
One thing that is going to happen is that when demand for your services falls, which it likely would during a recession, I think you might want to be careful about being unwilling to lower your prices a little bit to make sure that you can keep selling your services. So the problem, of course, is that when demand for any good falls, the price of that good also falls. But if the price of that good doesn't fall because, say, the firm is unwilling to cut their prices, what they're going to find is that they're not going to have as many sales as they were having before. And they could actually increase their sales somewhat if they would be willing to reduce their prices. So I think one thing to do would be open to the idea that prices should come down a little bit during an economic downturn. And of course, your prices can go back up as the economy recovers. But being unwilling to be flexible in adjusting your prices in response to changing, in this case, negative economic conditions, could actually make things worse rather than better for these firms. I know it sounds counterintuitive to a lot of people. If you run a business, you want high prices. We all do. That's great. You know, you want your service to be in high demand. But if the demand for your service is falling and you don't cut the price for that service, what's going to end up happening is that somebody else is going to realize that they can cut the price for that service, and they're going to take a lot of your business. And so I think being flexible in that sense. And that goes the flip side, which is that as the economy recovers and demand for your services goes back up, raising your prices in response to that higher demand is perfectly reasonable.
What steps would you suggest, Mike, to help operations ride out the lagging economy?
The first thing you have to look at is, how many pounds am I putting through the plant? How many people do I need in order to continue to process that product? That's really the first area you have to look at. The second area we ended up looking at was routes. You know, how many routes are we running? We're not going to be able to run that many you know, that many routes, we're going to consolidate. We'll park a truck. If we're lucky and we're close to the end of a lease on a truck, we'll turn the truck in. The longer you drag your feet, the longer you are really harming the company. You have to make those, you can't hesitate in making those decisions. You think them through. You've got a few days, you've got maybe a week, but you have to take decisive action as soon as you can. You know, discuss it with your management team, think it through, make a plan. You know, one of the bigger things you have to do, especially considering the hiring market, is that you need to maintain as much goodwill with your employees and your customer base when you start making changes. Everybody sees what's happening. They understand that we have to react as a company. You know, some of them will take it well and some of them won't. Some will work with you and some won't. It's not always fun. It's not always easy, but it's the things you have to do to maintain the business so that when the sun comes out and the birds start singing again, that we can bring people back on board and grow the way we need to grow.
Let's continue on with that, Mike. Do you have any other suggestions for moves such as finances, tangible assets, labors that laundries can take that would benefit them during a downturn and help them emerge stronger when the economy improves?
One thing I would suggest before anything else, if you're leasing trucks, and this isn't a heartburn thing, this is maybe a best idea thing, is that if you are renewing lease agreements on blocks of trucks at a time, if you can space those out and put 3 to 6 months between the start of those leases, what you'll end up with is, instead of having to wait 3 years before you can terminate your next truck, you'll have them spaced out kind of equally so that you can plan, okay, you know, in 3 months, we can terminate this truck. In 6 months, this truck is due to terminate. We'll pay an early termination fee for that one so that we can get a couple of these off of the books. You know, something that we have done is looking at how the plant is routed. A couple of things. If you are bringing temps into your plant, or if you're experiencing overtime in your plant, if you've got a machine that is operating about, you know, 60% the capacity of another machine, you need to look at what the return on investment of that machine would be. If you can reduce the number of people in your plant, what equipment here do we have that's just not as effective? And we've replaced some of that. And it has been one of the better moves that we've made in terms of the return on investment is, in most cases, under a year. And it'll go on paying you dividends from that point forward in reducing the number of people you have to have in the plant. To some people, that may sound harsh. It's like, well, you're cutting all those people loose. We're not. You have all of this kind of revolving door entry level into the plant positions that those are the ones that are going away. You're not sending your long-term good employees away. You are reducing the need to continue to hire more at the entry level, at least reducing that or putting that off for a period of time.
Any thoughts on this, Brian?
So one thing you could do here, and again, this would depend on each individual firm's position. So I don't want to say that this is blanket advice, do it no matter what, et cetera, et cetera. But if you do find yourself in a good position, good as in business seems to be strong, you've got a good cash reserve, you're doing okay, you're not in any worry about perhaps going out of business or whatever, covering your bills, then one thing that I think you could look at doing is that this might not be the worst time in the world to think about engaging in some capital investment, provided that you could do so at a relatively cheap price. So if you can buy new capital, so buy new machines, new equipment and the like at the depressed prices right now, then that's not a bad idea, because that means that when the economy recovers, you will have made investments in your business that can pay off when the economy starts to recover. But again, that depends on each firm's individual position. The other issue right now, of course, is that interest rates do remain somewhat elevated. So borrowing money to engage in this capital acquisition might not be the best idea in the world, but if you have the ability to do so without borrowing money to do so, might not be the worst idea in the world to get yourself in a good position to take advantage of the economy as it recovers, which it certainly will. Again, we can disagree over when that time frame looks like, but it certainly will. So putting yourself in a position to be ready to take advantage of that when things inevitably recover.
All right. So last question here. If you were speaking with a laundry operator concerned about economic instability and a possible recession, what advice would you give them? And Brian, let's start with you.
I'll reiterate my points that I think making sure that you are liquid is absolutely critical. Money can be, and cash-like assets can be, particularly useful during periods of extreme economic uncertainty. So making sure that you're not in a position where too much of your cash is tied up in assets that you can't easily liquidate. So whether that's money in your checking account, your banking account. Now, I know there might be some concern going back to our recent discussion here about the bank failures. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that deposits are insured up to $250,000. But one thing you could do to diversify risk on that front is you don't necessarily have to have all your cash in a single bank account. That's $250,000 per account, not per account holder, which means you could open up several accounts to take advantage of this protection. You could also look at opening up money market mutual funds. These are relatively safe ways of saving that pay a relatively decent rate of return for a very liquid asset. So making sure that you're in that sort of position, I think, makes sense. It can help you deal with any uncertainty that might be coming around the corner. And I think just overall, the advice is be agile. Don't be afraid to adjust and to experiment a little bit. Going back to my earlier point about it may make sense to look at reducing prices if demand for your product is falling. Don't be unwilling to do that. But then on the flip side, don't be unwilling to raise your prices when demand for your product recovers.
Mike, how about you wrap us up with your advice to fellow laundry operators?
I would say that if you haven't experienced this before, you need to put together a plan ahead of time. It's kind of a what if. It's a business recovery plan is what it is. What would you do in the short term? What would we need to do within a week or two? What would we need to do within a month? But it's got to be something that's realistic. What issues will we have to address? Some of it's hiring, some of it's equipment, some of it is how many buildings are you leasing, facilities? You know, it depends on the size of the company. But where can you reduce those costs? It pays to have a plan. You may not follow that plan to a T. It may not be possible to follow that plan to a T. But having a plan is a good starter when you gather your team and start making decisions and do it in a timely fashion. Don't wait until you don't have a choice and it's already hurt you more than it should have. So don't delay in making a plan. And when that time comes, don't delay in doing what's right for the business.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for bringing the laundry perspective to the discussion.
You bet. Thank you, man.
Brian, thanks for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
And thank you for listening. For the American Laundry News Podcast, this is Matt Poe reminding everybody to keep it clean. The American Laundry News Podcast is a production of American Trade Magazines, LLC in Chicago. The music, titled Holding On, composed by Poddington Bear, is supplied through the Free Music Archive. For more information about future podcasts, visit our website at AmericanLaundryNews.com or consult The Wire, our weekly e-newsletter. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter to stay informed about these podcasts, along with news and information from around the industry. This has been the American Laundry News Podcast.